were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This morning, I'm very thankful for that. I'd like to sing a song this morning titled, Because He Loved Me.
Jesus, my Lord, suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to that cross, great was the pain and the loss, he suffered it all, because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love for mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all. Because this would be the end of this man. But on that third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love for mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love for mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me, because he loved me, because he loved me.
Man, what a great song. What a great song. I love that last note, Brother Bert. You actually got all the way down there. Right? You were going, I'm thinking, is he going to make it? And he got all the way down there. That's amazing. That solo. It's amazing. All right. Let's all stand together and turn to 623. 623, let's stand together as we sing, I Must Tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
As we sing stanza four, all the children are dismissed. Stanza four together, please.
Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. Be seated, please. Today is the day when we set aside. We don't do it, but we participate in praying for the persecuted Christians around the world. I'd like to share with you just a few statistics about that. More than 70 million Christians have been martyred over the course of history. And in the 21st century, between 100 and 160,000 have been killed each year in the 21st century. Roughly, worldwide, 1,093,000 Christians were martyred between 2000 and 2010. So within one decade, okay. To give you some perspective on that, about 3,800 Christians right now are killed every month, which means that while we're here today at church service in this 24-hour period, 10 Christians will lose their life for their faith while we're here worshiping in freedom. I don't say that to make us feel guilty, but to make us be connected with them, to pray for them, to consider them. In the same time period, over the course of a year, over 2,500 properties, churches will be destroyed, which means seven today, if you look at the average, seven churches or worship buildings today will be destroyed around the world for Christians. Okay. Imagine coming here on a Sunday morning and finding this whole place just destroyed. How that would just change things so much. Okay. And then lastly, the last one is when it just comes to beatings, kidnappings, sexual assault, arrests, wrongful imprisonment, there are 25 people a day that happens to. So in one 24-hour period, you're talking about 10 people, 7 churches, 10 people dying, 7 churches destroyed, and 25 people arrested or abused or assaulted for their faith. So I think it's important. The Bible calls for us to remember those that are in bonds as being with them and to be mindful of the fact that the freedom we have to worship and the freedom we have to pray openly and publicly and corporately needs to be leveraged for these folks, needs to be leveraged for them. People that just getting caught praying could get them in prison or worse. And one of the most seriously offending countries right now is North Korea. This video we're going to watch is about a family in North Korea.
이 초등학교에서 우리는 In the primary school, we were taught that all missionaries were terrorists. They told us that a missionary will be nice to you at first, but when they get you into their homes, then they will kill you and eat your liver. There was no food and no work in my village. Like some others, I snuck across the mountain border into China. I picked mushrooms in the hopes of selling them in Chiang Mai. I don't speak Chinese at all. But in the mountains, I met a man. He said, "I can sell those for you." And he didn't cheat me. He gave me all the money from the sale. At that time, I didn't know he was Pastor Han. Over the next 2 years, I went back several times. Each time, Pastor Han helped me. One day, I asked why he would do this, for he himself was in great danger for assisting a North Korean. "It is because I am a Christian," he said. That made me afraid. Was he going to eat my liver? One day, Pastor Han said to me, "God is real. There is hope for every person." I could not believe he would say that word, God. Nobody says that word. We know it is an act of treason. To speak the name of God can lead to soldiers coming in the night. Journalists will write about you, and no one will ever dare ask where you have gone. One day I asked Pastor Han for a Bible. He knew that if I was caught with a Bible, my life would be in danger. But over time, I persuaded him. I showed the Bible to my wife. At first, she refused to even look at it. "Why would you bring that here?" she cried. She knew that if anyone reported that you had even glanced at a Bible, you would be arrested. And not just you. You and all your relatives sent to the concentration camps for years and years and years. Over time, my wife too learned that God is real. She found hope. And then I shared the word of God with my best friend. It was very dangerous for me to share. It was very dangerous for him to listen. One day in the summer of 2016, we heard that some North Korean assassins were being honored by the government, rewarded for their good work for killing a terrorist missionary in Changbai. We knew it was Pastor Han. Who else could it be?
우리는 너무 두려웠습니다.
We were frightened. Did they know he was my friend? Did they know I had met with him many times?
내가 여러 번 한 목사를 만났다는 것을 알아냈을까?
이러다 우리도 죽는 거 아닙니까?
아, 방영 또 하는 소리.
한 목사님은
Pastor Han gave his life, but he gave hope to me and to many other North Koreans. And despite the ever-present danger, many of us will continue to share the message that God is real. We hope that our sacrifice, when the day comes, will be worthwhile, just like it was for Pastor Han.
한 목사님이 그러셨던 것처럼 말입니다.
It's a sobering story that's repeated over and over again throughout the world. And it calls us as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to demonstrate our love for these folks by praying for them, lifting them up before the Lord, considering them. I'm going to ask that we would all just bow in a word of prayer while we do that. And then while I'm doing that, I'd like to also invite, Aaron. Aaron, where are you at? Aaron, come on up here. Aaron's going to read the scripture as soon as I get done praying. So let's just bow and pray together. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, seeing this true account of what really does happen, dear God, brings us many different emotions and thoughts. But God, more than anything, I would pray that it would bring to our hearts and minds an intense determination to pray, dear God, to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, who are around the world. And also, dear Lord, that we would not be casual with our faith. Dear Lord, that with the freedom that we have, that we would freely share. With the freedom that we have, we would freely speak out about your word. That we would tell people about your son. And that we would demonstrate the love that can only be found through Jesus Christ to a world that desperately needs it. I thank you and praise you now, dear God. Be with the preaching of your word and the reading of your word even now. In Christ's name, amen.
If you will please turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. Starting in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Excuse me. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. We ask you now just to please help us put all distractions behind us for the remainder of this hour. We ask that you would just bless Pastor Caleb as he brings the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Aaron. Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, the title of the message is The Essentials of Brotherly Love. The Essentials of Brotherly Love. We see in verse 1 where it gives that command to let brotherly love continue. I had someone who was looking at the notes, which are available out on the back table for you, as I was coming in this morning, and they said, could we just start with maybe brotherly like? Because it's really hard to jump right to that brotherly love. Maybe we could just start by liking a person. But this morning we're going to look at a couple different ways that we are challenged as believers to demonstrate brotherly love. And what exactly is that brotherly love? I ask you this morning, how many of you grew up and you had a brother? Okay, several people here. I did. I had a brother. I was very thankful for him because we also had three sisters. So if I did not have him, I would have been surrounded just by girls. So I was very thankful for my brother. We were a few years apart, did a lot of things together. But any of you, especially you guys that had a brother, and especially those of you guys that had a younger brother, or if you were the younger brother, you know that there is a unique relationship between brothers, and that there's a lot of fun things that happen. There's a lot of enjoyable things that take place, but speaking as an older brother, only one of the children can be perfect, and obviously the oldest is usually the perfect one, and so you have to handle all the difficulties that come with younger children and the younger siblings. But I remember many great memories I have with my brother. And we would play a lot of sports together and throw the football around, throw the baseball in the backyard. And my brother was quite a bit smaller than me, so I had to be careful many times that I didn't get too aggressive. Then when my friends would come over and we'd play football, we loved playing tackle football because, you know, that's the way to play. But we had to remind ourselves all the time not to hurt my brother. I remember one specific instance. We had a deck in our backyard coming off of the house. And I had a nice big wooden siding and everything. And we always would play football, and that was the back of the end zone. And if you ever watched arena football, you know that when you hit those walls, you flip over the sides, a lot of fun. But the thing is, this one was about as tall as I am. It was about 6 feet tall from the bottom of the ground there. And so when my brother, who at this time was probably 10 or 11 or something like that, not very tall, and you always had to be careful of that back deck. Well, one time I threw a pass, and it went a little further than it should have. Or he didn't jump as high as he should have, but he ran right into that deck, and he hit that thing and flew back. And I remember instantly, first of all, I was upset we didn't complete the pass, but I was very upset that he was hurt, and I was concerned that he was going to be hurt more. Now, to be honest, I was more concerned about the potential consequences that were going to come from me hurting my brother. But I was concerned about him, and thankfully he bounced right back up from that and handled it like a champ, and I was very thankful for that. But I have a lot of times where I remember the biggest examples of my brother are when he got hurt. And we went through a lot of things together, and I'm very thankful for him. But I remember, I think I've talked about before, the example of the time that I had seen my dad drywalling and putting things on the wall, and I put toothpaste in some holes in the shower because I had seen toothpaste go from blue to white when it dries, which is just what the whole things do in the drywall. And I did that, and my dad found out about it and wasn't very happy, and he was like, why did we fill all the holes with toothpaste? And he brought us all in. He said, all right, I want whoever did this, tell me who did it. And I was just not wanting to admit that I had done it. But then he's like, all right, being a pastor, he said, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. And he said, I want whoever did it to raise your head up and look at me. And I was like, man, he got me. So I start to raise my head up, but I hadn't moved yet. All of a sudden, I hear my dad go, thank you. And I'm like, I didn't raise my head. And I look up, and my brother's looking at him. And I was like, what? Like, I trained this kid well. He is taking my punishments now. I had a lot of brotherly love for him at that moment. I was very thankful that he took the punishment that I deserved. You know, when we hear the phrase brotherly love, we initially think of what it's like within a family. People that we have that are close to us, obviously brothers, but sisters, siblings, parents. But in this passage this morning that we see in Hebrews chapter 13, What exactly is brotherly love? So I want to start off the first point this morning, the need for brotherly love that we see. And beginning with, when we say brotherly love, what are we referring to? Well, there's a few things specifically that when we talk about that and the need for it, that we see described as brotherly love. Really, it comes down to it is showing concern and care for anyone that is in need. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, passage where we see Christ talking here and explaining a little bit about what this type of love would look like. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Christ talking here, he's answering the question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he answers in verse 37 and 38, what the first greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. But verse 39 says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we've looked at this many times before. What does it look like to love someone as you love yourself? Because we have a great deal of love for ourselves. So when we think about brotherly love and extending that brotherly love to others, it means treating them as we would want them to treat us. It's showing that deep care and concern for someone. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 in verses 25 through 37, we gain some more understanding of this. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law, and how readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You understand that this person here is trying to understand what exactly does it look like to gain an eternal life, to be able to inherit the kingdom, so to speak. And in this passage, this is where Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan, a parable that we are all very familiar with. But that parable came from someone asking the question, who is my neighbor? So in order to gain understanding of who we're supposed to love when we love our neighbor as ourself, Jesus explains in this passage that it is anyone that is in need around us. That it is someone that we see that has a need, that has a care or a concern that we can help with. So when we consider that the first great commandment, obviously we understand, is to love the Lord thy God, to love God with our whole heart. But that the second that is like unto it is to love anyone that is in need around us. And to reach out to them and to care for them and to show concern for them. That is who our neighbor is. And that is who we see really specified when we consider what is this brotherly love that we are supposed to show to all people. Another explanation of this, not only showing concern and care for anyone in need, it is placing others' needs ahead of your own. This really ties in with the idea of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Because if we're going to truly do that, we're going to place their needs ahead of our own. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. If we're going to show brotherly love to someone, we're going to think about what their needs are, what they have in their life that they are needing, before we consider our own. Now, this obviously means that we are to reorganize the hierarchy, so to speak, of what we are doing in our lives. Because what is normally our first concern, it is for ourselves. Is how am I going to care for myself? How am I going to make sure that everything I'm doing is okay? Well, maybe we should be considering those around us more. Because if we're going to love someone as we love ourselves, we're going to be preferring them more than we prefer ourselves. It is also ultimately an expression of our love for God. When we show brotherly love to others, we are telling them, and we are telling everyone around us, that we truly love God. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Another familiar verse, but one that we need to consider. If we're going to show brotherly love to those around us, if we're going to prefer others and place their needs ahead of our own, why are we doing it? Why should we take time to show love for those around us? You see, in our society, in our culture, in everything that is happening around us, this is so much different from what everyone else is doing. So if we're going to be different, if we're going to do things opposite of how the world is doing it, we had better have a reason. And that reason is because we are desiring to show that we love God. And God very simply here is stating, if we can't love those around us that we can see, that we can interact with, that we can talk to, then how can we be expected to truly love God who we have not seen? God commands us that he will know our love for him if we show love to those around us. Folks, brotherly love is needed. And it is demonstrated by showing concern and care for those around us, to reaching out to them, to placing their needs ahead of our own. And folks, it is ultimately showing that love for God by loving those around us. But verse 2 in chapter 13, verse 2 and verse 3 are both expressions of what this brotherly love looks like. These are not the only two expressions. There are many other things throughout Scripture we can see that tie into this brotherly love. But really specifically here, God is wanting us to understand that if we want brotherly love to continue, here are two ways that we can demonstrate it. First one being hospitality. And we see here, point number two, the importance of hospitality. Verse 2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Very beginning of this verse, be not forgetful. This expression of brotherly love needs to be purposefully practiced. Why? Because it is easy to forget. The statement, be not forgetful, implies that. The statement, remember this, don't forget, means that it's something that we might be forgetting. And it might be that the people that this was being written to, the Hebrews, that maybe they had demonstrated that they had forgotten this principle. Or maybe they were demonstrating it, but not to the full extent that they could have been. We all know what it's like to forget things. Some of us, more than others, have a hard time with that. I'm already demonstrating that, boy, as I get older, I'm going to have a hard time. I forget things that I did just a couple minutes ago. And I laugh with Jenny, our secretary, a lot of times in the office. She'll tell me something, and then I'll be writing something. I'm like, could you tell me what that was again? And obviously, my wife has many examples of this that she could tell you about. But I'm really concerned for as I get older, because I'm already showing signs of being forgetful. But there are things in the Christian life that we should remember, that we should be practicing, but if we don't practice them, we're going to forget them. There are many skills in our life practically that if you don't keep up with them, you're going to forget them. There are many things that you do in your job that if you didn't regularly do them, you would lose the ability to do that. You would naturally just kind of forget the skills needed in order to accomplish a certain thing. This is the same idea here. We are being commanded to be not forgetful to do this. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Notice the object of who we are to entertain. It doesn't say here, be not forgetful to entertain the people that you are close to. Be not forgetful to entertain your best friends. Be not forgetful to entertain your family. No, it says specifically here, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. You know, typically we see in other passages in Scripture that when hospitality is commanded, it is understood as other believers. 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. But instead, this passage points out and commands us to entertain strangers. This may not be a very comfortable idea for us to consider. In our culture today, entertaining strangers is not something that is very typical. Now, let me explain something here. I'm not saying that we just open up our door and we say, whoever wants to come in, just come right into our house. No, there still needs to be wisdom and discretion advised. But are we erring so much on the side of we're only going to let into our homes, or we're only going to give to those that we are super comfortable with, to where we are missing opportunities to be a blessing to our neighbor? Remember, who is our neighbor? That is anyone that is in need. That is anyone that is displaying something that they have a need for in their lives. Turn with me to Leviticus. Leviticus 19, verses 33 through 34. Leviticus 19, verses 33 through 34. See, in the Old Testament law here, this was what was commanded to the Israelites. It says, and if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. See, what's being explained to the Israelites here is if someone is passing through your land, if someone is passing through the place that you live, reach out to them and be a help to them. And this is carried over and continued as we see in Hebrews. We understand we're not under Old Testament law anymore, but when it is reiterated, when it is stated again here in the New Testament for us today, we'd better pay attention to it. And the principles that the Israelites understood as they were reading this in the very beginning, we should understand as well as New Testament believers. Folks, it is important that we are reaching out to those that are in need around us. And folks, there are so many ways that we can do this. You know, very specifically in the past we see here, we can invite people into our homes, but that may not always be the best case scenario. We can give to those that are in need around us. We can reach out and find if there are ways that we can help the poor and the needy that are around us. Folks, how do we get to the point where we are comfortable doing that? It is where we are not judging based on outward appearance. But folks, why is that so hard to not do? Because that is what we do. That's how we have those first impressions of people. That's how we understand who people are. We see a person's outward appearance. You know, in 1 Samuel 16:7, God is talking about how man looks on the outward, but God looks upon the heart. You see, that is God, that how God knows who we are is because he can see our heart. He can see inside of us. We, as finite humans, are unable to do that. All we see is the external. All we see is what people do and how people act and how they're dressed and how they interact with different things. And therefore, that is where we are left to draw a conclusion from. But folks, when it says to be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares, very specifically, we can think back to the example of Abraham. When he had the angels that came and visited him, they looked normal. There wasn't anything that we see in that passage that tells us that they were these glowing figures with wings and they were standing there and he's like, oh, I better entertain them, otherwise God's going to... No, they seemed like regular people to him. And he brought them into his home. Lot also did the exact same thing. They were unaware exactly of who they were, but they still brought them into their home. Folks, Christ very specifically stressed the need for us to selflessly reach out to others. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and now look at verses 34 through 36. Matthew 25, 34 through 36, and then we'll jump down to verse 40. It says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink, when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee, or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Folks, why are we supposed to reach out to the least of these? Why are we supposed to reach out to the people that are poor and needy around us? Because by doing so, we are demonstrating once again that we have a love and appreciation for who Christ is, who God is to us. We're showing that we love Him by loving those around us. Folks, we are challenged to remember to reach out to the poor and to the needy. And that doesn't even always mean people that are physically poor and needy. Consider the spiritually needy. They don't always look like someone that is needing something physically. They might be really wealthy. They might be very well off. But are they in need? Are we reaching out to them? Because, folks, we have something as believers that we can give to every single person that we meet. And that is the hope of the truth in God's word that can save them from their sins. But, folks, what exactly is this passage getting to in Hebrews 13? The command to let brotherly love continue, and starting off with, don't forget to entertain strangers. What is this foundation that is being laid? We get to verse 3, which is the focus of the passage this morning, and why we are looking at this passage today. See, folks, we are called to remember the persecuted. Folks, if we as Christians are supposed to remember the poor and the needy and those that are in need of things around us, we most definitely are called to remember those that are being persecuted. Verse 3 says, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Once again, we see a reminder here to never forget. It says in verse 3, remember them that are in bonds. Folks, how often do we forget or take for granted the blessing that we have to live in a country where we can worship freely? How often do we go a day or days or weeks and not even consider the thousands, the millions of people that are being touched by persecution around this globe? Folks, we are challenged in this passage to remember them. We need to regularly, once again, remember those that are being persecuted. Folks, the reason that we are to remember is given here in this verse. It says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. And at the end of the verse, as being yourselves also in the body. Folks, unlike maybe a stranger that is walking by, that we are still commanded to reach out to, we have something in common with these folks that are being persecuted. We have something very much in common that we believe in the one true God. We believe that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins and rose again on the third day, conquering death. And that is what separates us from the people that are doing the persecution. Because these folks around the globe are being persecuted simply because they believe in Jesus. Something we take for granted here. Something that we can talk to anyone about, or we can choose not to talk to anyone about. That we can just freely worship however we want to without that fear of persecution. But folks, we have a bond with these people because we believe the same thing that they do. 1 John 1, verses 3 and 7 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Folks, we have a common bond with these folks. We all worship the one true God. We are desiring to live for Him. And yet the difference is these folks are living in a place where they are not able to freely do so. So what are we supposed to do? Galatians 6:2 tells us to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Folks, we are to be reaching out. We are to be bearing the burdens of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Pastor Randy read off many different things, statistics of the persecution around the world. What are we to remember? It's all those things that we are considering, folks. The hundreds of Christians that are being killed every month. Look, the 60-something countries around the world that are facing persecution, that believe Christian believers are being persecuted in, 60 different countries. And as we saw in North Korea, it is one of the worst countries for persecution in the world. With the exception of four official state-controlled churches in Pyeongchang, Christians in North Korea face the risk of detention in prison camps, severe torture, and in some cases, execution for practicing their religious beliefs. Folks, something as simple as going to church, something as simple as reading a Bible, something as simple as saying the name of Jesus, they are thrown into prison. They are separated from their families. And in some cases, even give their lives because of who they believe in. Folks, this is a reality. This is something we are called to remember. But how are we going to show that we remember? How can we show brotherly love? Remember, this is the headline, the challenge to let this brotherly love continue to these strangers that we might meet, but most specifically to also to our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. How can we show brotherly love to someone that we may never meet face to face? How can we do so? First thing is by simply, as we've already looked at, to never forget. To actively choose to not forget and to remember the suffering of many around this world. Folks, there's many different ways that we can do that. Stay up to date on what the church as a whole is facing around the world. Set a reminder on your calendar, on your daily tasks to pray for those around the world, to remember, to consider, to keep up to date. Go to different websites like Voice of the Martyrs and see what people are facing around the world. Remember what they are going through. Do not forget them. Folks, this helps us to better know what our brothers and sisters are going through. Many times if we can put a name or an understanding of the situation that's going on, it makes it much more personal for us. We gain an understanding of what is taking place. But not only that, it also should give us an appreciation of the freedom that we have to freely worship. Folks, you can't go and read about the situations that people are going through. You can't go through and read Fox's Book of Martyrs and read the many different things that people have gone through throughout history. And if you are being impacted at all, you can't help but be overcome with emotion that people who believe the same thing that you do have given their lives, have given of their homes, have been separated from their families, have lost everything because they believe in Christ. Folks, are we remembering that? Are we considering it? Are we letting it impact our lives? Are we remembering those that are in bonds? Are we considering them on a daily basis? Folks, we cannot forget. Actively choose to remember. The second way we can show brotherly love to them is by giving. Acts 2, 44 through 45 says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Folks, there are ways that we can give to the persecuted church. You can do so by giving to your local church, but very specifically, you can do so by going and reaching out to these different organizations that help out these people. The Voice of the Martyrs, Open Door Ministries, there's many different places you can go to that give very directly to the persecuted church. If you want to give in a financial way, if you want to give of possessions, there are ways we can reach out and do so. But folks, there is something that all of us can for sure do as believers, to help those that are being persecuted. Along with never forgetting, we should remember to pray for them. Folks, do we take prayer seriously? Do we understand the power of prayer? That's a whole separate message, but folks, understand that we are challenged to pray for those around the world. If we're never going to have an interaction with these people, sometimes it's easy to just lose interest. They're not really impacting my life. Remember what Christ challenges us here. That we have that common bond. That we are also brothers and sisters in Christ with them. And though we may not be facing the same persecution, we should be considering and uplifting them in our prayers. Folks, we need to be actively and consistently praying for those that are facing persecution because of their beliefs in Christ. Folks, let us as a church, let each one of us as individuals take it upon ourselves to take this truth in God's word and to make it real to us and to remember those that are being persecuted. To remember how we can show that brotherly love to them, to reach out in ways that we can would have never even imagined before. In this world of technology that we have, there's so many more opportunities that we have to be educated in what's happening and to give to those around us. But folks, something as simple but as powerful as prayer is going to have a huge impact on those in places that we're never even going to go. Folks, are we remembering the persecuted church? Are we thankful for the blessing that we have to live in this country where we still currently have freedom to worship? And folks, are we preparing every day to consider what it is like to remember those that are facing persecution? Or we wake up in the morning, are we remembering to praise our Lord and to show thankfulness to Him and to worship Him? But then, are we also remembering to love our neighbor as ourselves? Are we reaching out to not only the strangers that are around us, but the folks that we have a common bond with? Folks, we are challenged in this passage to show that brotherly love by doing these two things. Are we doing it? Are we living for the Lord? Are we desiring to be used by Him in many, many different ways? Lord, I thank You for this morning. It's very humbling as we watch this video, as we consider the many people that are facing persecution around the world. And even as this letter was written many, many years ago, there were many Christians that were giving their lives, that were facing persecution because of what they believed. And Lord, in today's world, this persecution is still very much present. Lord, I pray that You would help us to remember those that are facing that persecution and to realize that we can have an impact on them, that we can pray for them. We can, by remembering them, draw attention to what they are going through. We can give to them. Lord, help us to never forget those that are facing that persecution because we have that common bond in Christ. Lord, I thank You for each person that's here this morning. I pray that You give all of us a desire to first and foremost live for You and to do everything that we do for Your honor and glory. But Lord, as You explain, the second greatest commandment is just like unto that, is to living for You, is by remembering those around us and to love our neighbor as ourself. Lord, help us to live that, to show the world there is a difference about Christians. And it's not anything based on ourselves, it is based on our love for You. Lord, thank You for everything You bless us with. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn with me to number 625. What a friend we have in Jesus. A great reminder in this song that all of us have the same friend. Those of us here, those of us around the world, we have that friend in Jesus. Number 625, as we stand, we'll sing the first.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
This passage was a challenge to you that today will serve as a reminder that though this is the International Day of Prayer, let's make it a daily habit to be praying for those around the world that are in need of it. Reminder to you that we have a meeting over in the fellowship hall for all nursery workers. Please, if you can, make it over there. Just go over a few quick things and we'll dismiss you. Hope you have a great afternoon. Let's close in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity to worship You this morning, to be in Your word. Give us a good afternoon of rest and of opportunities to be a testimony for You. Bring us back again together tonight, ready to learn more about You and to praise You again. Lord, thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.